Joseph's coat. I was telling a preacher friend of mine this morning who said Highway 5 is pretty blocked, and I told him, he said, what are you preaching? I said, no, I got a preacher in. Hey, well, who is he? I tell him about him. I said, last time he was here, he preached on four coats. Now, this guy's been around like me 45 years. He said, four coats? I don't know of three. I said, I know, me too. But time you get done with the message, there's four. And I told him the four. He said, man, that's a spellwinder. So I'm sure we're ready to hear another good message. Brother Tim, would you come? And would you welcome the man of God?
Pastor, thank you. Thank you, brother. Well, how about the second sermon I preached? Everybody shout, God is above me. God is around me. God is before me. God is behind me. Come on, say it. God is underneath me. God is with me. God is in me. Come on, church, give the Lord a hand clap. That's where God is. Hey, man, I am excited to be back in Campbell. I've been looking forward to this. And of all weekends, the Lord opens up the windows of heaven, and I'm going to have to race and beat that storm over that Pacheco Pass. And they said if we hurry, they won't charge us for the motel. Sister Hastings made a call, Pastor. She told me. So I don't want the church to be charged another night if I'm not going to be there. But I'm going to preach a Galen Allen sermon. Be about 15 minutes. But how many know dynamite comes in small packages? You don't have to preach 2 hours. You don't have to preach the everlasting gospel to get your thought across. But John the Baptist preached a very short message. He said, repent, you bunch of snakes. Hallelujah. Jesus kind of preached that way too. I was telling the pastor last night, I got in trouble. One of the larger Church of Gods in Central California, I've been going to for years, and the fella quit having me, so I went to the banquet, Christmas banquet, this last December, and I seen him. So I walked over to him and hugged his neck and said, Pete, haven't been receiving no calls from you, haven't heard from you. What's going on, brother? He said, well, him hauled around a minute, then he said, you just hurt my church last time you were there. I don't hurt nobody's church. I'd die before I'd hurt anybody. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, we'll talk about it later. I said, no, we won't. That police officer came out of him. I said, we're going to talk right now, son, right now. What did I do? You're not going to believe this. He said, Brother Smith, you preached against homosexuality. What? I said, Pete, don't you preach against homosexuality? He said, well, I've told my preachers, and the church is so large, they have to have two services, and he's got all these little preacher boys that work for him, and he said, I told him to lay off of that because there's people in our church that some of their family members have homosexuals in their family, and we don't want to offend nobody. And you know what? If you have a homosexual in your family, or if there's one here today, I want you to know I love you, man. I love you dearly. And I owe it to you to preach the truth of the gospel. For Jesus said you'll know the truth and the truth will make you, set you free. Come on, can you say amen? He said, well, I'm still praying about having you back. I said, no, don't do it. And I'll never call you again. If I can't preach the gospel, I don't need to be there. And I'm not anywhere to ride a hobby horse or anything, but he wanted to stifle me. You know, I don't want to stand before the judgment and have blood on my hands and God say, son, I called you to preach and you wouldn't deliver what I told you to preach. Anyway, I've said all that to say I'm happy I'm in a church. I can preach what God gave me. Amen. I can obey God this morning. But I'm going to preach the gospel, which is the cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible, turn with me, please, just for a few moments. One of the smallest little books in the entire New Testament, the book of Philemon. Now you say, where's Philemon? Well, it's kind of the right side of Titus and the left side of Hebrews, sandwiched right in the middle there. And it's only got 25 little verses, Brother Henry. It's very small, but very powerful. And there's a message this morning for our hearts and our lives. I regret that I won't be with you tonight, but what an honor to be with you today. I just love your pastor. Sometime I have the honor of talking to him on the telephone, and you know what? He pumps me up with the Word of God every time that I talk to him. Your pastor is a walking Bible. This man is full of the Word of God and faith and the power of the Holy Ghost and love. Hey, how many know you are blessed? Treat the man of God right. Treat him good. God has given you a jewel. Not only he, but his precious wife. You have some wonderful pastors here. Amen. And I'm honored. I am so blessed just to be able to say, hey, Dennis Connor is my friend. Not just an acquaintance. He's my buddy. He's my friend. And I love him. He's one of my favorites. And it's an honor to be here today. Little Galen passed away. I've cried a bucket of tears. Not for him, I guess for myself. Felt sorry for myself because we were so, so close. But he's in a better place. I talked to him Saturday before he passed on Tuesday or Wednesday. And I said, Galen, I'll be up there with Brother Connor now. And when I get done, I'll come see you. He said, oh, yeah, come on, we'll go do the good thing. What's the good thing? That means go out and eat a T-bone steak and a salad, baked potato somewhere. And that's what we used to do, and he called it the good thing. Well, the next morning when I found out he passed, I told the Lord, I said, take care of my little buddy because I've got a lunch date with him. And we may not be able to go to Sizzler anymore, but Galen, I'll meet you in the morning. And praise God, we'll sit down together. Amen, and we'll have a feast. Can you say amen? So I appreciate you folks, and I appreciate the way you love Galen. I'm here because of Galen Allen. Galen introduced me to Brother Connor, and I'll see you maybe Saturday if you can come. Come on down. Amen. It's going to be a beautiful service, I'm sure. Verse 18 of this great book, only one chapter. If he hath wronged thee, or if he owes you anything, put that on my account. Paul said, charge it to me. You know, here in America, we are all very well acquainted here in the USA with charge accounts. I imagine every person here has some kind of charge card in your billfold or in your purse. Amen. Visa, MasterCard, American Express. I don't know, but we're very, very acquainted with charging and credit. And I'll just pay you later. Yeah, turn me up just a little bit, brother. My voice has been very weak. Thank you. And this morning, if you have a nice credit card, how many know when this service is over, you can go out and get a nice meal. You can eat anything you want. You can put it on your account. You can pay bills with a credit card. You can buy a gallon of gas, or hey, you can even buy a car if you have enough credit on that credit card. I know of one fella. I got my pilot license back in 1985. I've been a pilot for a long time. But this cat, he had enough credit on his American Express. He bought an airplane with just a credit card. Put it on my account. Well, today here in the Word of God, we find the mention of an account. It's a story about a slave by the name of Onesimus. This was back in Bible days when it was okay or it was legal to have slaves. This slave owner by the name of Philemon had a slave, Onesimus. Bible really don't tell us why or how come, but Onesimus ran away. I guess I probably would too. If I was a slave long enough, I'd want to get out of there and start a new life. Well, Onesimus ran, and he ran hard. But friend, one beautiful thing happened to him. While he was running, he ran smack dab into a man by the name of the Apostle Paul. And how many know you can't get around Paul very long without him telling you about that Damascus Road experience? How that I was going to hell. I was lost. I was the cheapest of sinners. Oh, I was bound by sin. But I saw the light and I heard the voice. And praise God, since that hour, my life has never been the same. God saved him and filled him with a mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. And here's a man that rose up and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. I'm talking about Paul. What a mighty, mighty man of God. And Onesimus met Paul. And brother, one thing about it, we're sure Onesimus got his ears full of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Onesimus got saved. He gave his heart to Jesus. And I can see old Paul as he said, Onesimus, you're born again. But son, it's in your power to rectify some things, some restitution. You need to make right some wrongs. You see, son, you're a runaway slave. You need to go back to your owner, Philemon, and tell him you're sorry and that you repent. But I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to put a letter in your hand. And I happen to know Philemon, and he's a brother. He's a believer. He's a good Christian, Onesimus. And I believe he'll listen to me and listen to what I'm going to tell Paul whenever he reads that letter. Hey, Paul. Hey, Onesimus. Hey, Philemon. I'll get it here in a minute. If he owes you anything, talking about that slave, if he owes you money, if he owes you time, whatever it is, put it on my account. Oh, hallelujah. Charge it to me. Amen. Philemon, put it on my account. I'm glad, friend of mine, and this is a very simple message, but 2,000 years ago, oh, what a Savior. Jesus, amen. He said, I'll take your place. I'll pay the price for you. Amen. You owe a debt that you cannot pay. Oh, but Father, put it on my account. I'll die so they can live. I'll go to hell so they can go to heaven. I'll pay the price with my own blood that they can have eternal life. Hallelujah. Charge it, charge it, charge it to my account. You see, I believe before the misfortune of the Garden of Eden happened, before the forbidden fruit was tasted, I believe there was a conversation in heaven. I believe that God knew he would create man. And in one writer, he said he knew what was in man. He knew man would fail. He knew man would need a redeemer. He knew man would need to be redeemed. And I believe that he'd searched through heaven. Now, this is just in the book of Timmy Smith. But praise God, there was one, Jesus Christ, his son, that said, Father, put it on my account. I'll pay the price. Amen. I'll be the redeemer. I'll hang on a cross. I'll shed my blood. Oh, my, my, my. And he didn't spill his blood. I can't stand for people to say he spilled his blood. If you spill something, that's an accident. Jesus could have called 10,000 angels, but because he loved you, oh, church, when he was on the cross, you was on his mind, and he took your place. He told God the Father before the world was created, Father, charge it to me. I'll pay the price. Put it on my account. Young man, you don't even know how much you're loved today. Young lady, you can't even comprehend how much Jesus cares for you. He loves you so much. He took your place. You say, preacher, why do you think this conversation took place before the Garden of Eden? Because the Bible tells me in Revelation 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the slain Lamb of God from the foundation of the world. So, my 15 minutes almost up, but hang with me here a minute. I'm going to tell you something. 2,000 years ago, a terrible price was paid. Jesus showed up, born of a Virgin Mary, baptized at 30 years old, anointed of the Holy Ghost. God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But then his mission, amen, it came to the day when his mission was to be completed. And they took my Savior and yours. I'm telling you, he took 39 stripes upon his precious back. Friend, that was not in vain. That was a price being paid for your sickness. Come on now. I'm telling you, for every disease, for every infirmity, Jesus said, put it on my account. Do you know Isaiah looked through the telescope of prophecy, and 500 years before Jesus died, he said he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Let me see your right hand. You need a healing here today. Raise it up high. I need healing today. And I believe this could be my day. I did a very stupid thing since I seen you last. I'm a golfer. Any golfers in the house? All right, brother. God bless you. I got some old tennis shoes I play golf in. One day the golf pro, he showed up with two nice pair of golf shoes. One was made by Callaway. The other one was New Balance. And they were beautiful. And I said, well, Steve, how much are they? He said, well, they belong to my neighbor. He's only worn them a few times. I guess he decided golf was not his bag. He said he'll take $100 for both pairs. One pair would be close to $200. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you 80. You know, a preacher's always got to try to chew him down a little bit. I'll give you $80 for both of them, 40 apiece. He said, sold. I took them shoes. Well, I couldn't wait for the next day so I could go out and play a little bit of golf. Put them on my feet. And about 3 days later, Sister Connor, you'll probably understand what I'm talking about. You know about medical science. From my ankle to my knee turned as red as Santa Claus's suit. And I said, I've got to see my doctor about this. I was telling Sister Connor about my doctor. He's a precious black brother that his name is Dwight James. I started going to him about 8 years ago when he met me and found out I was an ordained minister. He said, you'll never pay a dime for coming to this office. No charge for seeing me. If you get a B12 shot, if you get anything I can give you here, no charge. I've got a wonderful doctor. So I went to see Dr. James, and as soon as he looked at it, he said, well, you got a staph disease. And then he looked at me real serious, and he said, and you can die from it. But then he said, but I'm not going to let you. Well, it's been real hard getting rid of. I'm on my third round of antibiotics. And then I got a sore that broke out on it because of the staph. This sore came, and it's called a MRSA. And that thing won't go away. Pastor saw it on my knee yesterday, and I've had a real hard time with that. But you know what I believe? I believe today could be my day. Because for that MRSA and for that staff that people die from, amen, I have a Savior, Brother Haynes, that said, put that on my account. I'll pay for that too. I'll pay for the staff. I'll pay for the MRSA. Come on, what is your sickness? I'll pay for that. Oh, hallelujah. Just as Paul told Philemon, charge it to me. Jesus loves you so much, he paid a price for everything that death and hell and the devil put on you. Jesus paid a price to take it off of you and set you free, brother. Put that on my account. 2,000 years ago, he did it. Give me 5 more minutes. I'm going to race to that room. Don't worry. I'm going to be there. Boy, Jesus sure does love you. Man, I mean, They beat him so bad. Isaiah said they plucked his beard. Brother, you got a good looking beard. Can you imagine somebody grabbing it by the roots and plucking it out? They spat upon him. They put a crown of thorns upon his tender brow. They beat his back to a pulp. They hung him on a cross by nails and dropped it into a hole. All of his bones went out of joint. He hung there dying because he was paying a price that you could go free. One writer, a historian, said when they brought his mother to the cross, there were three of them, and when she looked up on the cross, they had to point out which one was her son because he was beat beyond recognition. And let me tell you another thing. I'm telling you, he paid the price because he loves you. God so loved the world. Come on now. This is the gospel, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. My. The price has been paid, but have everlasting life. He made seven sayings from the cross. One of them, the last one, was, "It is finished." Did you know in the Greek, did you know your Bible is written in Hebrew and Greek, Latin? Did you know that in the Greek, and you can look it up, when Jesus cried, "It is finished," what he said was, "Paid in full." Oh, God. Friend, if that don't move you, I don't know how to move you. I'm just here to tell you, he loves you today. And just as Paul told that slave owner, Philemon, "Put it on my account," Jesus told the Father, "Put it on my account." And when he shed his blood on that cross, come on, he didn't have to do it. He could have called 10,000 angels. He cried, "It is finished, paid in full, Father. Whosoever will may come now and take of the waters of life freely." Paid in full. When I was just a young man, and that was many moons ago, I'm getting up there. I'll probably get to draw Social Security here in a few years. I turned 60 my birthday. I know I only look about 29, but I really did. No, I'm teasing you. I'm like Galen. I like to joke around a little bit. He taught me how to do that. But friend, I'm trying to tell you, Jesus loves you today. Jesus paid a terrible price for you to go free. And whatever's bugging you and bothering you today, there was a price paid for it. As I said, when I was a very young boy, I was about the meanest kid on the block, so they, even the little Pentecostal Church of God in Lindsay, they paid my way to camp meeting, even got me a ride there and back, or youth camp. And you know what? It worked. I got in them altars, man, prayed, cried my eyes out. I got saved. Man, 15 minutes are up. Come on, just give me another minute. I got saved up there. And I remember they sang a song, and you've probably sung it 100 times, but this is when that song just came out. And it goes like this, and I'm not a singer, but it touched me and it moved me. "He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away." Sing it with me if you know it. "And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never." Why don't you give him a hand if you love him for that? I gotta quit. I gotta go get that stuff out of that room. There was a young man named Little Tommy. Little Tommy, he was probably like Brother Haynes. He could build anything. He was a builder. He was good. He was good at it. Very talented, very smart. He loved boats. So one day it took him a few days, he built a boat. He painted it. He put a little cell on top of it. He even wrote a little name in the back. He named it. And then the day came when he was going to float the boat. So he tied a string on it. There was a little canal that ran on the outskirts of the city. He took his little boat down to the canal, and Brother Henry, he put the boat in the water, and away it went. And boy, did it float good, going down the rapids and staying upright. It just was doing so good. But all of a sudden, the string snapped. The little boat got away from him. Tommy ran down the bank as hard as he could to keep up with it. But finally, the boat was gone and no way to retrieve it. When Tommy went to bed that night, he cried his little eyes out. He was so proud of that boat. But fast forward with me 2 years. Tommy's walking down the sidewalk of the little town where he lives, looking in windows, looking at bicycles and baseball mitts and baseballs, football, looking at things little boys like. When guess what? He saw his boat in a window, store window. He ran inside, and the manager was there. He said, Mister, that's my boat. That's my boat in the window. Can I take my boat home now? The man said, Son, I can't just give you that boat. Why, that boat belongs to the store, and the boat's for sale. Tommy ran again as hard as he could to his home. He knew he'd get in trouble, but he broke his piggy bank. He put his little money in a sack, and he ran as hard as he could back to that store, ran in, couldn't see the man. He asked the lady, Where's the boss? She said, Well, I'll get him. He's in the back. She got him, and he came out. Little Tommy showed him the sack and just took it and poured it on the counter. Why, the manager didn't even count it. He said, Take your boat. Tommy picked up that boat, walked out of the store. He clenched it to his chest. You would have thought it was a puppy or something alive. He was so proud to have that boat back. And he said, Little boat, you're twice owned. Yeah. Oh, I made you, but then I bought you. You're twice owned. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but I want you to know God loves you so much. He made you. He created you from the dust of the earth. He breathed the breath of life into you. But you got away. You got away from under his shelter, under his arm, under his love, on your road to hell. But he bought you back. Twice owned. He made you. But then he bought you. And that proves his love. There's a little story in the Bible. I'll close. The only thing funny in this story is a woman's name. The man's name was Hosea, and he was a prophet, and his wife's name was Gomer, like Gomer Pyle, you know, Gomer. Gomer could not be faithful to any man. She was a harlot. She played the harlot. And after they were married, she was so unfaithful. She finally left. He hadn't seen her in quite some time. One day, now I'm just ad-libbing, this is out of my book the way I read the story, but one of his friends said, Hosea, you're not going to believe it, I saw Gomer, she's back in town. Oh God, she looks terrible. I believe she's aged 25, 30 years, Hosea, she looks terrible. And guess where she's at? She's on the auction block being sold like a dog. Hosea, this is your chance. No doubt his friends told him, go down there and get back at her. Tell her this is what you get for treating me like you treated me. This is what you deserve, you dirty rat. Hosea, he went down there. But when the auctioneer said, how many will bid on this woman? Nobody spoke a word. But then Gomer heard a voice that she recognized from years gone by. It was the voice of her ex-husband, Hosea. And it was not a condemning voice. It was not a voice putting her down. It was not about guilt. It simply said, I'll pay the price. I'll buy her for whatever it takes. I'll buy her back. And he did. And this is the story of the love of God, how he redeemed Israel back from idolatry. And this is what Jesus did for you and did for me. Charge. Charge it to my account. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? I don't know who I've come. I've come a long ways to be here. If it's just for one soul, it's worth more than all the world to gain. But if you're here today and you know, friend, you know, if you was to die, you're not right with God. You're a good person. But friend, even good people will end up in hell because they rejected the goodness of God who paid a price for you to be saved. If you're here this morning and you know, now be honest, Brother Smith, I have unconfessed, unforsaken sin in my life and I'm not right with God. Let me see you raise your hand right now. Come on, get them up. Brother Smith, I need to be saved. I'm waiting once, twice. God's dealing with you. I feel the Holy Ghost dealing with somebody today that needs to get right. He loves you so much. Don't reject his love. Don't do it. Because he made you. And then he bought you. And he loves you today. God bless you. I'll just turn the service to your pastor. I love every one of you. Always remember this. When he was on the cross, you was on his mind. Boy, how he loves you. He said, put it on my account. I'll pay the price so they can go free. Brother Connor, it's yours, brother.
You've heard the gospel? Let's find a place to pray. Praise the Lord.
you sing it with me before we go home? Come on. Everybody sing. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe the debt I couldn't pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Oh my God, and now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace, hallelujah. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Folk, would you do me a favor before we go home? I'm the evangelist and I lay hands on people every week of my life. But I'm here and I need healing. And I know Jesus Christ paid that price. He said, put it on my account. I'm going to come down, sit in that chair. And if you'd like to pray for me, would you come? I believe God will heal me today.
give me time, but I'm going to change clothes. I'm going to wear this home. And I'm going to get my travel clothes on. Okay. Give me a little time.
Why don't you go out this way?